Welcome to the show this morning. This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. I am not Randy Corcoran. You probably figured that out by now. Randy will be with us in the studio at 9 a.m. He's going to be on the air today, 9 to noon. So, you know, it's an honor to be sitting in for him and talking to his great audience. I'm Deborah Flora. I am the host of the nationally syndicated radio program Bring It Up on our sister station, 94.7 FM The Word. But man, I love being over here on 710 KNUS. You guys are the best listeners, and I so appreciate your taking your time this Saturday morning, bright and early, to be with us. And I've got a real treat ahead. You know, first I'm going to start with the headlines, and then I'm going to introduce our great guest. As we've seen, you know, Middle East and terrorism, these are never far from the news. Every time that we think, okay, that's on the back burner, I think of that sign in D.C. on one of the monuments that says, "The price of freedom is eternal vigilance." You know, we've seen other headlines this week. You know, Iran is secretly moving missiles into Iraq. That's going on while we're looking at impeachment. These things are happening. We all know that just this week there was a shooting in Pensacola on the naval base, and we found out that it's a Saudi Arabian national. He is an aviation officer, and this shooting left four people dead. The suspect has been identified as Mohammed Saeed Al-Sharami, and that has reawakened us to our borders, to what's going on right here in our backyard. Even if we're focused on other things like the holidays, this is always happening. You know, Representative Mike Rogers of Alabama, he's the ranking member of the House Homeland Security Committee. He said this: while the FBI is conducting a full investigation into the shooter's motives, it certainly bears the hallmark signs of a terror attack. You know, when we hear about a Saudi national and an airplane, it brings back memories of 9/11. This seems to keep recurring. I think there's been a lot of things that we have not experienced because I think President Trump is definitely uncovering a lot of things and the team there. But these keep coming up. So what do we do about this? Eternal vigilance. That's the price of freedom. You know, Sun Tzu said, know your enemy. That's the only way that we can defeat this. You know, we live in a culture right now where there is a push to not really know our enemy, because our enemy is not at this time necessarily a country. It is an ideology, and we need to be honest about that. If we don't look at that ideology, then we cannot really know our enemy and protect ourselves. So here is why I'm so excited to have our next guest. Bridget Gabriel is someone who really can help us be informed so that we can be vigilant. Brigitte is not only just a dear friend, so I'm so grateful she's with us, but she's a terrorism expert and she's the chairman of ACT for America. I love the name ACT, not listen, not think, not mull it over. ACT for America, the largest national security grassroots organization in the U.S. And she's the author of the new book, Rise. Welcome, Brigitte. I'm so glad you're on the show today.
Good morning, Deborah. I'm delighted to be with you.
It's always great. I tell you, you're better than coffee. You come on and I just have this surge of energy with your beautiful energy and voice and passion.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know why? Because I value being alive.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm a survivor of terrorism, because I lived in war where I didn't know if I'm going to wake up the next morning. So when you are raised in such a situation, you wake up every morning, let alone waking up in America every morning. I thank God, kiss the ground, thank God I'm alive, and I'm looking forward to living every single day. And you know what? The fact that we live in America, the greatest country on the face of the planet, is reason enough for every single American to wake up every morning with a smile on our face, with a spirit of gratitude, to be thankful to live in such a nation that gives us the freedoms that we have.
Oh, I absolutely agree. It's that gift of perspective. I mean, and that really, I've often thought that if we could do anything, if I could pass, well, I'd pass a lot of laws, but one thing I would love to see is if every young person would go to another country that it does not have our freedoms for a brief period before they go to college, so they can come back with that gift of perspective and have that same passion and purpose that you have, Brigitte. It's just an important thing.
And thank you. And you know what? Forget it. We don't even want to give them the option. I love the draft. Bring back the draft and make it mandatory.
Wow.
Ship them all to Afghanistan. Ship them to some godforsaken, those countries that President Trump describes in colorful words.
Yes.
Ship them to those countries for 6 months, and I guarantee you they're going to come. Our brats will come back to the United States totally changed, appreciating our freedom, cherishing our founding father, respecting our founding father's wisdom, and structuring a nation for us where we have the freedoms and the ability to debate ideas, to exchange ideas, to stand up for justice, to fight for freedom around the world. It will change their mind.
Oh,
and you know, this is why when immigrants come to this country like me, who come from whatever country we come from, you know, the true immigrants, the true legal immigrants that did it by the book, have a totally different appreciation for America.
Oh, they do. And it changed for me. I had that exact experience. I grew up in Colorado on Lowry Air Force Base, the lap of liberty. But it wasn't until I went to the Soviet Union, when it was still the Soviet Union, and I witnessed for the first time what I would call the palpable lack of freedom. I didn't understand it because I'd never seen it. You know, this generation thinks that freedom is like gravity. It's always going to be there. And until you see the absence of it, you do not value it. I remember we finally drove out, you know, and started heading to the airport out of the Soviet Union, and they started playing John Denver, and I cried and wept. I was like, I love America. I think everybody needs that.
I used to listen to him while I was still living in the Middle East.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and when I came to Colorado, I remember it actually when I first came to America, the first state I went to was Colorado on a visit on vacation in 1986.
Right.
And I absolutely fell in love with the state. And when I went back to the Middle East, people asked me, what did you think about America? And I was like, if I ever go back there, I'm going to go live in Colorado.
Well, Brigitte, as you know, I'm trying to convince you to come here.
We've had this
conversation.
I'm trying to convince my husband, please, Deborah, help me.
I will, absolutely. Well, that's a good transition because I got to see you here and try to convince you and your husband to move when you were here at the Western Conservative Summit. And we're going to keep that campaign. I'll get my husband been on it as well. But you know, when you were at the Western Conservative Summit, you were hands down, people were saying, the best speaker there. I mean, there was actually a poll afterwards because you told your story. And there is nothing more powerful than a story because it is yours, it's irrefutable, and it is what you live through. And it's what gives you this motivation. So could you share with our listeners a little bit about your story and what's led you to start Act for America?
Absolutely. As people can tell from my voice, I'm very passionate about being alive, and I'm passionate about national security in particular, being safe and secure in our nation, because the terrorism affected my life personally. As you know, I was born and raised in Lebanon, which used to be the only majority Christian country in the Middle East.
Right.
We were open-minded, we were fair, we were tolerant, we were multicultural, we had open border policy. We welcomed everyone into our country, especially people from the Middle East, Muslims who wanted to come and study in our university. They graduated and worked in our economy. But unfortunately, all that began to change when the Muslims became the majority and we, the Christian, became the minority. That's when they declared war and started fighting the Christians. And that's when the war broke out in Lebanon in 1975. My 9/11 happened to me in 1975 in Lebanon, where radical Islamists blew up my home, bringing it down, burying me under the rubble wounded. I ended up in a hospital for 2.5 months. And as I went from one surgery to another, hooked up to IVs in both arms, as a little girl, I would ask my father, why did they do this to us?
Right.
And my father would tell me, because we are Christians, the Muslims consider us infidels, and they want to kill us. So I learned since I was a 10-year-old little girl living in the Middle East that I am wanted dead simply because I was born into the Christian faith and lived in a Christian town.
Right.
We ended up leaving the hospital and coming back home, but my home was destroyed. My home was bombed. It was no longer the place I left. We ended up living in an underground bomb shelter in an 8-by-10 room without electricity, without water, and very little food. And that's where I lived for the next 7 years of my life, robbed of my youth, from the age of 10 till the age of 17, living in that bomb shelter. To get some food, we would crawl out under the bombs, my mom and I and my dad, and we would dig out dandelions and different greenery, different vegetation that grew around our bomb shelter, because it was the only vegetables we had to eat. To get some water, you know, today in America, when I see people walking around with just sipping bottles of water, I think of, you know, so different from my upbringing. When I had to go get a drink of water, we had to crawl under sniper's bullets to a nearby spring, because we were surrounded by Islamic snipers shooting at us. And every time we left our bomb shelter to get some water, we would say our last goodbyes, because we did not know if we were going to come back alive or dead, because we were surrounded by snipers. Just to get a drink of water, putting our life on the line. And this became my existence, and I ended up living like this until the age of 17, and that's when Israel came in to help the Christians in Lebanon, because Israel understood what was happening to the country at the time. And we, the Christians, realized that Israel was our friend. Actually, let me back out. Here's how we learned that. We were surrounded to be slaughtered one night, and we knew that, you know, we're not going to survive. I remember a friend of ours stopped by one of our militia, Christian fighters, and he said, "Brigitte, I just want you to know that we heard a lot of chatter on the radios, and we know that we're going to be attacked tonight." And he said, "If I don't see you tomorrow, I wish you a merciful death." And he gave me a big hug, and he left. Wow. And I remember, Deborah, dressing in my Sunday best, my Easter dress, in my burial clothes, because I wanted to look pretty when I am dead, knowing that when they come to slaughter me, there would be no one to bury me. And I remember begging my mother, "I don't want to die. Please, I don't want to die. Do something." As she was combing my long black hair, you know, making me pretty, tying a white ribbon in my hair, as if I'm going to Easter Sunday service, as if I'm going to church, dressed in my Sunday best. And there was nothing my mother could say to me. She stood there just crying. And I remember sitting with my dad and my mom in the corner of our bomb shelter, and my father started praying, "I shall walk into the valley of death and fear no evil, for thou art with me." And my parents said to me, "We lived a long life. You are an only child. You are a young child." They said, "When they come to slaughter us tonight, we will create a distraction. And while we're creating a distraction, we just want you to run as hard as you can, as fast as you can, run towards the Israeli border and don't look back." You see, we lived 5 kilometers from the Israeli border in South Lebanon. And we knew if we go to the Jews and beg for help, the Jews are not going to slaughter us, because we had more shared values with them than we had with the Muslims. And so, thank God I didn't have to make that decision that night, because that's the night when Israel came in physically into Lebanon and established security bases around our town to protect our lives. And Israel started working with the Christians in Lebanon, trying to help the Christians take back their democracy and kick out the radical Islamic element that had taken control of the country at that time. At that time, in 1982, when Israel invaded Lebanon, we had 11 Islamic terrorist organizations operating out of Lebanon, including the PLO. So when Israel came in, that's how we came out of the bomb shelter and back to rebuilding our lives. And that's how I ended up moving to Israel and working as news anchor for World News in the Middle East, because I made it my life's mission to understand why people do evil things to other people. And in particular, I wanted to understand Islamic terrorism. And I thought, I'm going to become a journalist. I not only want to report on the issue, I want to understand why they do what they do and warn others, because I'm an I'm not only an expert in terrorism, I'm an eyewitness to terror who survived to tell about it and made it my life's mission to fight evil, protect innocent lives, and stand up for truth.
Oh, it's so great that you did. And by the way, you've said a few things, Brigitte, in this story that I think are so key. You know, you were in an environment, we were talking in the last hour about hate and all of this. You could have turned and hated the other people. Instead, you embraced a love of life. And then you said something else. We had a caller in the last hour that was a great caller, but was talking about, oh, there's kind of this equivalency, this moral equivalency between the Muslim ideology, Judeo-Christian. Now, we're not talking about not caring for Muslim people. That's completely different. But you have gotten to the heart of the difference of the ideologies. Your first book is Because They Hate, and it's not about all Muslims. It's about the radical Islam ideology and how it is different. Can you tell us that? Because obviously in our culture today, there's this desire to make everything morally equivalent. Everything, every belief system is just the same. And that's not the case. And if we're going to fight this, we have to understand what it is. What is it that Americans do not understand, for the most part, about this different ideology that we are fighting?
Well, first of all, societies are not created equal. You mm-hmm. know, this is actually the title of one of my chapters in my book, Because They Hate. And for those who are listening to us right now, who my story resonated with them, my story is detailed in my first book titled Because They Hate.
It's a
New York
book.
Times bestseller. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who wants to read my books, I suggest you start with Because They Hate, mm-hmm. because you'll understand this story in more detail. Obviously, I just shared, you know, 5-10 minutes, but people can imagine what I wrote in a book.
Yes.
But one of the chapters in my first book is titled Societies Are Not Created Equal, because societies are not all equal. We're not all morally equal. You cannot tell me that America, the United States of America, and Afghanistan are in the same ratings, the same quality of life, the same quality of morals. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are created equal because we are created equal in the eyes of God, but societies are not equal. And America is an exceptional nation.
Yes,
and
is.
This is why America is different, because in our society, as a society based on Judeo-Christian values, and this is what I detail in my latest book, Rise,
mm-hmm.
Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values, because right now our values are under attack. Our freedoms are under attack. America is turned upside down. And I titled my book, Rise, in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values, because Judeo-Christian values are the foundation of Western civilization.
Yes, they
and
are.
This is what made Western civilization great. And in our foundation, in the Judeo-Christian value system, excuse me, and the Judeo-Christian value system, we teach our children, even if they're not religious. You know, in America, you hear people say, Johnny, treat others the way you want to be treated. Even atheists teach their children this. You know, treat others the way you want to be treated. Do not lie. Do not cheat. Be nice. People do not understand where this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's debate ideas. We talk about freedom of speech. Where do you think freedom of speech comes from?
Right.
You know, in the Bible, it talks about, come, let's reason together. People sit together right now in Israel, in the Talmud, they debate the Talmud. In religious schools, that's all they do all day long, to understand ideas, to form better ideas, and to learn different point of views. It's a part of who we are as a society.
Mm-hmm.
So when you compare, when you contrast this with what we're looking at in the Islamic world, you start seeing the difference in the way our Bible teaches us to debate ideas. So in our holy book, we are commanded to debate ideas and reason together.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in the Quran...
Go ahead, yes.
You cannot question the Quran. You cannot reform the Quran. You cannot debate the Quran. You cannot question the Prophet. So there is no openness of the mind and the inquisition and the desire to debate the ideas, to find out different ways you can look at different verses. And this is why in the Islamic ideology, when the radicals and the moderate Muslims, get into a debate together, the radicals always win the debate because the law is on their side. The ideology is on their side.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And then the consequences are so great. It is a bullying one. Yeah, I've had this conversation with some constitutional scholars who are not believers, and they say, well, we're not a Christian nation. The reality is the foundation of the country is Judeo-Christian, which means that everyone can worship however they want to. But we're certainly not a Sharia law Islamic nation. We are not a Hindu nation, because the Hindu belief system is that you are stuck in your caste system and you should not even try to get out of it because then you will have to go back and live another life, which is exactly opposite of the American dream. So I appreciate your clarifying that. You know, we're about to go to a break and there's so much to dig into here, but in this last minute before we go to the break, and then we're going to come back and talk about how this applies to us today and security and all of this. What is the one thing you would want to communicate to someone who just doesn't seem to understand this difference of ideology?
While we love all people, we pray for all people, we want to help all people, what makes America exceptional is our open arms to the whole world, yes, saying, come here, be all you can be. As an individual, we want to lift you up, we want to make you rise. The sky is the limit, no matter what your background, no matter what your belief system. You can come to America, you can build a house of worship, any house of worship.
Yes.
Pray to whatever God you want, and we all live together under our Constitution, knowing and believing that God created us all equal in the eyes of God. This is exactly why we say all men are created equal, and we have the Constitution as our laws. If you believe in those ideologies, come here. But unfortunately right now, Deborah, we are dealing with people who do not believe the way we do. Mm-hmm. Societies are not created equal. There are people who believe that you and I should be killed because we are infidels.
Yes.
Not because of our freedom, and that's why they attack the World Trade Center. Look, I'm a Middle Eastern Christian, quote unquote Arab. I spoke the Arabic language. I lived in the Middle East. I practiced the Middle Eastern culture. I was not a superpower of the world. But in my country of birth, in Lebanon, they killed us, slaughtered us. They were crucifying us on crosses back in 1976 before ISIS even existed.
Yes.
And so what we're dealing with is an ideology that Americans need to understand that is very different than our ideology. So while we can warn about the ideology, we can still love, we can still have open arms, we can still be open to debating ideas with those who don't agree with us, but we have to be careful and we have to be cautious in protecting our lives and the lives of those we love while at the same time trying to reason with other people.
Oh, that's absolutely right. Well, we're going to continue this conversation because at the heart what we're talking about is it's okay to say America is exceptional because it is, not because of the people who live here, not because of the landmass, but because of the fact that America is the only country that was ever started as an idea that all people are created equal and everyone can have the freedom to live their lives the way they want to. So hey, don't go anywhere, Bridget, and don't you go anywhere either, because we're going to continue on with Brigitte Gabriel when we come back. This is Deborah Flores sitting in for Randy Corcoran.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. I am not Randy Corcoran. He will be back in the studio at 9 a.m. You'll get to hear from him today. But I am so grateful that he has allowed me to talk with you this morning. I really appreciate it. My name is Deborah Flora. I have a nationally syndicated radio program on our sister station, 94.7 FM, The Word, Bring It Up. But I am happy to be with you all this morning. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday morning. The sun is rising. And I tell you, you do not need coffee this morning. All you need to do is listen to our guest today, who is Brigitte Gabriel. She's better than any coffee. She's full of so much joy. And if you didn't hear the first segment, it's because of her story of coming out and surviving terrorism in Lebanon. And as you said, Brigitte, thanking God every morning to wake up in the beautiful country of America. We're so glad you're still with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad I'm still here.
Well, we are in many ways, that's for sure. Well, Brigitte, I just want to make sure everyone knows that you are the chairman of ACT for America. We're going to talk about that. You have a new book called Rise. And in the previous segment, you talked about our need to understand this ideology that we're fighting and radical Islamic terrorism. Not all Muslims, but this ideology. And you have that in your book, Because They Hate. So if you haven't read that book, I really recommend that you do and go to actforamerica.org. But let's continue this conversation, because you really outlined very well in the last segment just this understanding of why America is exceptional, why this belief system is so different, and why we need to protect it. In the news this week, we were talking about how the shooting in Pensacola was a Saudi national. He was an aviation officer. They're looking into it. It looks like terrorism, but it completely highlights our need to protect this country from those who don't want to come and just enjoy what we have, or which is the ability to disagree. They want to use terrorism and bullying to basically get us into submission. So one of the things you do with Act for America is you really talk a lot about immigration reform. Can you talk both about what happened in Pensacola and about your suggestions in immigration reform? What do we do and why is it so important?
Well, what happened in Pensacola yesterday basically taught us one thing. We haven't learned anything in the last 18 years.
There you go.
Period. Mm-hmm. We haven't learned anything in the last 18 years. I mean, three of the hijackers of the 9/11 gave the NAS, the Naval Air Station Pensacola, as their address.
Oh, goodness.
So now we have four who already committed terrorist attack against the United States coming out of the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, and all four of them are from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So we have not learned anything yet. Now, you know, the question that people need to ask is, what type of vetting process are we doing with these people that we are bringing into our country under the exchange program with the Saudi government to learn how to fly airplanes?
Yes.
What type of vetting going into those who are coming? Who is keeping an eye on them and what they're doing? You know, we didn't realize the signs or pay attention to the signs the first time in 2001 when the hijackers all went through the Naval Air Station in Pensacola and learned how to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So why we didn't do this now? This guy, this shooter yesterday, tweeted on his Twitter feed why he hates America.
Wow.
And Americans, and why he is doing what he's doing, because America has war on Muslims, is killing Muslims, and because America stands with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy spelled it out in his tweet yesterday morning.
Right.
Didn't a red light go up on the antenna on any hat with the brass at the Naval Air Base,
mm-hmm,
to realize, what is this guy posting? I mean, I'm sure he's got friends.
Yes.
I mean, if he's been here since 2017, he's made some friends in the country.
Well, yes.
He didn't live in a hole. I'm sure he's got Twitter followers. Didn't somebody alert the authorities that, oh, my gosh, look at this tweet that this guy just posted?
You know, and I think that's such a great point, because we're all about that when it comes to school shootings and all of that, that we're going to talk about, you know, in the next segment with another guest. But we have to be able to do that with people we invite in. It is okay to do that. And, you know, we were talking about last segment about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, about being kind. The difference is not everyone is allowed in our neighborhood. If you want to destroy it, we have a right to say you do not have a right to be here. So in light of what happened and this need to learn, like you said, that we haven't done in 18 or 19 years now, what are some things that we need to do to begin to beef up our security?
Well, the first thing we need to do is put pressure on our government to throw political correctness in the garbage, because American lives are at stake.
Here,
and
here.
Yesterday, we just lost the lives of four people in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the type of thing where people cannot put their guards on the side and say, well, you know, I mean, obviously we defeated ISIS. There is nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
What happened yesterday proves that whether ISIS exists or not, whether Al-Qaeda exists or not, what this person did yesterday was an individual act of hatred guided towards the United States of America.
Yes.
Where we brought this person and allowed him as a guest into our country.
Mm-hmm.
So our elected officials need to hear from us right now more than ever as to pressure and open up an investigation into what type of program is happening right now between us and countries like Saudi Arabia, where we are bringing foreign nationals, and what type of scrutiny these foreign nationals are subjected to. To give you an idea, at any given time, we have in that class in Pensacola 20 people from the Middle East. 20 in any given class. Any given class. I'm not talking about only 20 in the whole base.
Right.
So who is vetting these people? What are we doing now in order to understand what's their ideology? How did they qualify to come into our country? Why are we doing training here instead of doing training in Saudi Arabia? I know this is a part of the exchange program, especially because of the arms deals that we just did and the airplane deal we did with Saudi Arabia. Why are we training them here instead of there? Maybe after what happened here in Pensacola Air Base, maybe we need to move the training bombing operation to Saudi Arabia or to one of our bases in the Middle East, in Bahrain or somewhere else.
Well, so, yeah, and I love the fact, by the way, that you talk about what we can do, because you talk about that with Act for America. And one thing I would say is what you're saying reminds me of what a friend of mine said one time. To become politically correct, you have to either be stupid or blind. You have to actually ignore what is true. I always say, you know, President Trump got so much heat for saying that people coming from certain countries would have higher scrutiny. The truth is, that is where this ideology comes from. I always tell people, hey, if redheaded soccer moms from Ireland are the people that primarily are behind terrorism, then stop me every time, because I don't want the other one to come in. So you're right. It's about telling our elected officials, let's ignore PC, which is basically the dumbing down of what is supposed to be military intelligence. That's an oxymoron.
Exactly. So we're talking about military intelligence, and we cannot dumb down our military intelligence on the altar of political correctness, because it is suicidal.
It is.
If our military cannot scrutinize who's coming into our military bases, then what's left for us? I mean, we're the average citizens who depend on the government to protect us. And those Americans who were serving our country in the Pensacola Air Force Base yesterday who died, these Americans are regular Americans who trust that our government will protect their lives. And actually, they volunteered their time, because remember, we have a volunteer military. Mm-hmm. They volunteered their time to serve our country and to learn how to serve our country. So why should they be killed by a foreigner who wishes us harm, who we allowed our government to invite into our country?
Yes.
But this is going to lead me to what people can do. And let me talk about Act for America,
organization. Yes.
Because after 9/11, I'm a firm believer that we as citizens of the United States of America have the greatest privilege in participating, each and every one of us, in our country, in our politics, in our national security, in the framing and the direction of our country. This is why we have a republic. This is why we elect our representative to represent us in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So I started an organization called Act for America. Not think about America, not wish for America, not hope for America, not pray for America, but act for America. Because you can do all the above, think, hope, wish, pray, etc. But without taking action, nothing happens.
Yes.
I launched Act for America after 9/11. I launched it in 2002 to educate millions of uninformed Americans about the threat of radical Islam to world peace and our national security. And at that time, by the way, Deborah, when I launched it, radical Islamic terrorism was the only threat to the United States at that time. Antifa did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
MS-13 gang members were not roaming our streets the way they are now. We didn't have the domestic terrorist organizations we have now. Today, Act for America focuses not only on radical Islamic terrorism, but on protecting America and its citizens from all threats, foreign and domestic.
Yes.
I'm proud to tell you that we are now 1.6 million members. We have helped pass 103 bills on the federal level and the state level to protect America. We have 80,000 activists nationwide. And I encourage people who are listening to this broadcast right now, if my voice, if my message resonates with you, join us. Go to actforamerica.org and sign up as an activist. Sign up to get our emails and action alerts. You know, a lot of people worry about Antifa as a domestic terrorist group, and you hear now a bill introduced in Congress by Senator Ted Cruz designating Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. We, Act for America, was behind that bill.
That's great.
This is the type of stuff that we do. We helped pass a bill that says the Protect and Serve Act, protecting our police officers. The bill says if you injure a police officer, you serve 5 years in jail. If you kill a police officer, you serve life in prison.
Mm.
We work on issues to protect our country. Radical Islamic terrorism is one of our issues. I encourage people to go sign up to join us. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. We want to be able to reach you when there's a bill coming down for a vote, when there's a corporation we want you to put pressure on. We make it very easy. To give you an example, we send once a week, every Wednesday, three things you can do under 10 minutes to make a difference for the country. All you have to do is with a click of a button, you can do them sitting in your pajamas, 7 o'clock in the morning, sipping your cup of coffee. Anybody can be an activist, a keyboard activist. We're not asking you to show up to a rally, show up on a street corner, hold a sign, do this, that, and the other. No, there are different levels for your activism. And I'm sure everybody right now has a computer. Anybody can make a difference with the click of a button sitting in their pajamas at home. Nobody would even know who you are. You don't have to worry about your neighbors hating you or finding out your politics. We make it very easy for people to be engaged. So people can go to ACT for America, FOR America.org. Sign up as an activist. Join us. If you are able, stand with us financially. We need your support as we mobilize the nation this next year for a vital year in the direction of our country. We need you to stand with us in every way you can. While you're at it, my book, Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values and Freedom, is now on our website for a donation. You can get my book autographed, give it as a gift. Your donation is tax deductible, so hey, the best Christmas present you can buy.
I think it's great. I'm definitely going to get some copies. Well, I tell you, like I said, I've had 2 cups of coffee. I should have just waited to talk with you. And I do love, Brigitte, that your words are RISE. That's your book. ACT, which is your organization, actforamerica.org. What I love about that, and our listeners, by the way, you're talking to great listeners here in Colorado, the 710 KNUS listeners, they get involved. So yes, on this Saturday morning with their cup of coffee and the energy you have poured into them, I have no doubt they're clicking away. I love it. Everyone can be a keyboard activist. So I think I just need a t-shirt that says, be a keyboard activist, go to actforamerica.org. So
yes. Because, a lot of people on our side, Deborah, they like to be educated. They like to be informed.
Correct.
And it is good. And it's important for people to be informed. But what we lack on our side is activism.
Yes.
On the leftist side, you ask any 22-year-old nitwit about socialism who's a socialist, they can't even answer you. They don't
That's
know what
true.
Socialism is. They just know they're socialists.
There you go.
They are out. They are active. They show up. They shut down bridges. They shut down lectures at universities. They scream. They shout. They call their elected officials. They don't even know the issue, but they know how to make a noise.
Yes.
On our side, our people show up to a meeting once a month. They hear a great speaker, whether it's the Tea Party, Republican Party, you name it, whatever group, Rotary Club, Lions Club, whatever. They hear a great speaker. Everybody feels so informed. They leave the meeting after eating their rubber chicken for lunch. They pat themselves in the back. They think, this was a great meeting this month. What speaker we're going to bring on next month? That's it. They're educated, but they do not know what to do with the education. We make it very simple. We go toe-to-toe with the left.
Yes.
We educate you. We arm you with education, but we also arm you with tips so you will know what to do to be the most effective patriotic American citizen participating in shaping the future for our country and making a difference for our country. You don't even have to think about what do I need to do, because most people don't know. They do not know what bills are coming down in Congress for a vote. They do not know what different corporations are doing to stifle freedom of speech. They do not know, for example, that Prince Waleed bin Talal, the Saudi prince, remember the prince that gave Giuliani $10 million after 9/11 and Giuliani turned it down?
Right.
So this Prince Bandar bin Talal, the Saudi prince right now, is the second largest shareholder of Twitter. So the Saudis right now not only have people infiltrating our government, taking lessons in our military schools and actually being on an exchange program in our military, but they also have the largest control of Twitter, and they have Saudi personnel monitoring people like you and me and shutting down our Twitter accounts, while a guy from Saudi Arabia can post on Twitter how much he hates America, go into his flight school and shoot Americans, and it's okay with Twitter doesn't flag that out.
Brigitte, you know what? It is so great what you have brought up, and you brought us full circle again. And here's what I would say. Unfortunately, we're heading to a hard break. You know what? You've done all the hard work. You have infused us with passion. And I thank you so much for being with us today. And I truly mean, go to actforamerica.org. Brigitte, thanks for being with us today. We're going to have you back on because we've just barely scratched the surface.
Thank you, my friend. Love you. Love Colorado. Have a great weekend. All of you listening to us right now, it's been a privilege being with you.
Oh, thank you. And we are going to get you to move here. We're working on that. So, hey, don't go anywhere. We're going to continue a great show. I'm Deborah Flohr. I'm sitting in for Randy Corporan on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. I am not Randy Corcoran, as you probably guessed. Randy will be in the studio at 9 o'clock. He's going to do a special edition from 9 to noon on the Randy Corcoran Show. I'm Deborah Flora, and I am so glad to be with you this morning. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful day. I've seen the sun come up, and it's amazing that we're already almost through with 2 hours of the program. Hey, and by the way, saying it's a beautiful day makes me think of our first topic. If you missed it, we were talking about Mr. Rogers, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And if you missed any part of the show, please do go to 710knus.com. You'll be able to hear the podcast. It's been a great show already. We've talked about how do we navigate these times, these conversations. Should we be more like Mr. Rogers, or should we be more like President Trump? And I think there's times for every situation. But in the last hour, we just had an amazing interview. If you need a jolt of coffee and you need to be woken up, go back and listen to Brigitte Gabriel. She was just with us on the show, and she is better than a triple espresso. If you're not familiar with Brigitte Gabriel, she is the founder and the chairman of Act for America. And we talked a lot about her story. She was a young girl in Lebanon. She was a victim of terrorism. She thought at 13 she was going to die because they were told that that was the night that the Islamic radicals were going to kill all the remaining Christians. And she woke up to something completely different. I think this is remarkable, and I want to bring it up in light of the election. She said that morning, 13 years old, her mom brushed her hair, put a white ribbon in it. She wore her Sunday best because they knew that night they were going to be killed. That's what she was dealing with, which is why she loves this country so much. But instead, what happened? They were liberated by Israel. Israel came in and liberated them. You know, why do I bring this up? Because one of the things that Brigitte talks about is we need to be informed. We need to know what is at stake. And one of the things that is at stake, by the way, is supporting Israel. Because recently there was a gathering that was a Soros-backed organization, J. Soros-backed organization, that basically said their campaign for this election season was to pressure all the Democratic candidates into opposing Israel. That's the pressure that is on these candidates. Now, we're not a litmus test person as far as the election. However, support of the only country in the Middle East that shares our values, Israel, I do think that is something important. We need to know what is at stake in this election. We need to be informed, and we need to act upon it. So that is something that I've really taken away from this conversation that we have with Brigitte, is knowing what's at stake, what is going on. And by the way, we need to know what is happening and be aware. We talked about this shooting yesterday in Pensacola, Florida, and Brigitte shared with us something that is really not in the news yet. So it's going to be interesting to see this as it rolls out. Right now, the news is saying that the motives of this Saudi national who killed 4 people yesterday is still being investigated. Brigitte, when you go back and listen to the last episode, she shared that there were tweets by this perpetrator where he said how much he hated America. So it's going to be interesting. You heard it here on 710 KNUS, and that may be coming out later as the officials give that information. But it's important for us to know. It's important for us to be informed about all these things, so many important things in this upcoming election. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Mayor Bloomberg's visit here to Aurora, Colorado. We're going to talk about his big push for more gun control. And we're going to have a great guest with us who's going to help us dive into that. We're going to have Laura Carner with us. So don't go anywhere. I'm Deborah Flora. I am sitting in for Randy Corcoran this morning, and I so appreciate your joining the show.